Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus to thank you for this day, to thank you for the blessings you've given to us, seen and unseen, to thank you, Father, for forgiving us of sin and allowing us, Lord, to come with a conscious mind to join this call, to be a part of what you're doing, to hear from you, to understand your word and your truth, and attempt to live a life that will truly honor you and glorify you, Father. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our willful disobedience. Forgive us, Father, for our sins of omission and commission. Father, we just ask today, Father, that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we may live a life that will honor you. And we know when we are doing that, Lord, it is blessing others. So help us, Father, continue to be a blessing to others. As this world that we're living in, we're seeing the pain, the circumstances, the difficult times, and the death that is happening all around us. Lord, we see our loved ones that are sick. We see our loved ones that we've lost in just this last year or the year before that. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us life right now, that we have an opportunity to do your will and make a difference on this side of heaven. So, Father, we praise you. We glorify you for the honor of being a servant into your kingdom. For it was impossible for us to choose you. You chose each and every one of us on this call to be a servant unto you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for the opportunity to praise you. We thank you for the opportunity to glorify your holy name. We thank you for the opportunity to speak words of truth and have the wisdom that you give to us to share with others. So, Lord, as we come together as little chickens to the hen, Lord, that you would just bless us and nourish us and refresh us to hear from you and you alone. Lord, so bind up any unclean spirit. Bind up anything that would cause chaos and distraction over the phone lines. Lord, bind up any stronghold that may be in the lives of us or in our children or in our children's children. Bind it up and cast it out of them, Lord God, and allow them to be able to hear a word that you have for them to hear as well. Then, Lord, we pray that you bless Jeanette. Give her wisdom. Give her understanding. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead her, Father. So help Jeanette to decrease so that you may increase and your spirit will have its way in this moment of this hour of this day to bring forth your word. Then, Lord, give us ears to truly hear and a heart to receive. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. And as we receive your word, let us become a doer of what we receive. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. We're going to be back in Galatians.
Thank you.
And we're going to start at Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we're going to start at the 7th verse. Galatians 5, starting at verse 7.
Okay, I'll be reading out of the NIV.
For
everybody
before
ready?
We
sorry.
Before we start reading, we're going to just remind, since it's been a week, we're going to remind you what we were talking about. We've been talking about, good morning, who just joined us?
Terry, good morning.
Good morning.
We're in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be starting at the 7th verse, but we're going to recap what we've been talking about for the last several weeks, and that is freedom in Christ. Paul is, you know, pretty undone by the church regressing from understanding what freedom in Christ is about, what freedom from the law. And not that we don't obey the law, but we're not bound by the law, that it is won't be by your good works that you'll make it into heaven. And this is coming up, and he's rebuking the church because he's come back and found that they're preaching circumcision all over again. All this, you know, do follow these laws so that you will be saved. What he's telling us, we're not saved by following the law. The law itself will kill you, because if you can't follow all of it, you're held to all of it. If you try to follow it because of it being the law, then you better follow every last one. And we already have the whole Old Testament to prove that's impossible. Nobody can pull off sinlessness but the Lamb that was sent, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So that's where we are. He just finished saying back earlier in the fifth chapter, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So this is where we ended up last week. So by the very thing that you think you're doing good, your good behavior, your stellar actions that you think is getting you closer to God is alienating you from God. Because the motive of your heart is that you think you're earning your salvation, which means you have just separated yourself from grace. And grace is the only thing that's getting any of us in. Amen.
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 Nobody's getting in if there was no grace. But for
Amen.
Grace. And what is grace? Somebody tell me, what is grace?
Undeserved
unmerited
favor.
Unmerited, exactly.
Favor.
Okay. Let's start from verse 7.
Okay. Again, I'm reading out of the NIV. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the word that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision. Sure.
Stop right there for a sec. I'm going to do this a little different. I know we've been reading the whole passage and then pulling out. But today, you are running a good race. He's talking to the Christians, and they were doing fine. They understood the word. They were spreading the gospel correctly. Who cut in on you?
Yes,
who slowed you down? Exactly. And kept you from obeying the truth. What kind of persuasion does not, that kind of persuasion does not come from God?
Right.
A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough.
Amen.
A little yeast works through a whole batch of dough.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody give me an example of what that looks like.
One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch.
I think when children get together with a Ouija board, they think they're just playing a game. But that little game is attached to a demonic spirit as a technique to enter into the dark side. So I think when they think they're having innocent fun, they're delving into a world that can pull them down off track, pull them off track.
Absolutely. Anybody else have an example of what a little bit of yeast can do to the dough? What does a little bit of yeast do to dough, first of all?
It rises it, doesn't it? Yeah, makes it,
It gives it a preservative.
It changes it from leavened bread to unleavened bread, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes.
I think that description you gave last week of the. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to just piggyback that analogy you gave us last week when we were talking about the weeds that are planted next to. Yeah, I think there is a correlation to that here as well.
Exactly. A little bit of the wrong thing can ruin the whole batch. A little bit of the wrong thing can ruin the whole batch. Why is he using that here? Because he's saying it seems like a small thing to revert back to circumcision. But he's saying that's how it begins to turn. That's how we ended up with so many different theologies. Somebody gets something a little bit twisted, and they teach it. And then it still looks like the gospel of Christ. Let's say JWs, for example, Jehovah Witnesses. They say that they are Christians and they embrace, but the little changes that they made changed the whole gospel. Let me give you an example. In their Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God, which is a small g. It was just a God, not God. That changes the entire deity of Christ.
True.
And it's that tiny a thing to make one capital G a small g. It changed the entire gospel. Not they made many other changes in the Bible, in their Bible also, but that right there is the premise on which it's not a Christian Bible. Because you just took the deity of Christ away. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him there was nothing made that was made. Well, when you say in the beginning was some God, a God, any God, well, that's not the same, that's, you know, but it's not God, God. Well, you've just changed the entire gospel, the foundation, and that's what he's saying here with a little bit of leaven can change the entire, a little bit of yeast can change the entire composition of the bread. So he's saying here you're trying to go back to circumcision, you're changing it again. Why are you asking people to get circumcised? You're going right back to, and it's just a little thing, you think? But what does that lead to? Well, if you're going to get circumcised, you also need to burn these candles so many times a day. And when you finish with that, you need to honor all of these different holidays. And you need to honor them in sequence. And you need to not eat on this day, and you need to do this on that day. And now, next thing you know, you're right back to Judaism. And that's how we get there. And I think that's why we are stuck in Galatians right now, because he keeps reiterating the same theme. He's been doing this now. We're in the five chapters of it. But he's saying it because it has to take hold and root in our spirit so that we really understand it. Otherwise, it's easy to default, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't recognize sin, it's easy to default back to it.
Sure.
Working the same here.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Zarnia.
Verse 10. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, again, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Okay.
Continue.
I'm just going to...
Sure.
What is he saying? He says that he's still being persecuted, so why is he being persecuted if we're just going right back to Judaism? Rome wasn't persecuting the Jews for Judaism. They had it all set up, agreements with the Jewish leaders. So he's saying, that means everything that I've gone through and Jesus has gone through was for nothing. Skip down, because we covered that, skip down to, no, go ahead and finish that, but just read through it.
That one is done. The next one is Life by the Spirit. Verse 13, you want me to continue there?
Well, no, finish for 12. Oh, no, you finished that. That's for my brothers. No, 13. Mm-hmm. Go to 13.
13 is in the other part. Okay, Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the...
Stop right there for a second. What does bite and devour each other look like?
Are we in Galatians chapter 5?
Yes, 5:13 is where I started.
Say again?
Books.
I'm a little in and out.
Somebody just need a clarification on the verse and chapter.
Devouring looks like jealousy and gossip and deception and manipulation and arrogance and jealousy. That's what it looks like to me.
Good answer. Biting, but I want you to notice the choice of words that Paul uses there. Biting and devouring.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strong words for what we don't see as that. We don't see that when you're tearing somebody down, you're tearing them apart. We don't see it that way. We just say, well, I said my piece, and blah, blah, blah. And you don't realize the harm that you're doing. What Paul is doing is bringing it home to what it would look like in the spiritual realm. It looks like you're tearing one another apart. And if you're tearing each other down, then what's left? So think about your words when you're getting ready to say something unkind about a person, or you have an agenda and your agenda is so important to you that you're hurting other people with the things that you say about theirs. What you're really doing is tearing people apart. I'm going to bring this and I'm going to let it go. Who does that? Doesn't that remind you of a wolf?
Oh, yes.
And what does the wolf do? He gets among the sheep to kill and destroy.
Mm-hmm. And he devours his prey.
Mm-hmm. Devours. Bites and tears it apart.
Mm-hmm.
So remember this. When you're using unkind words or you're tearing somebody else down, remember whose work that must be, because it looks an awful lot like the wolf to me. Now that I see that that's what's happening when you're using your words that way. Okay, continue.
Sure, 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to you to live by the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the sinful nature. How do you live by the Spirit? We've talked about this. How do we live by the Spirit? How do we live by the Spirit? No, we're not going to the fruit right now. How do you live by the Spirit? How do you live by the Spirit?
Being obedient. your word and being obedient of the Spirit. Reading the word of God, nurturing the Spirit, and being obedient.
Meditating on his word as well.
So is all of that how we live by the Spirit?
The obedience part.
So I read my Bible. So I'm living by the Spirit is following the guidance of his Spirit.
Right.
So what's the number one thing that has to happen for you to live by the Spirit? First, you have to receive his Spirit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
First, you have to have the Spirit of God within you. You can't live by the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. And remember, it's the Spirit of God that is subduing the desires or the sinful nature, right? The Spirit, when we talked about three-part being, it's the Spirit that is in conflict with your flesh. Remember, we talked about the enemy of God, not Satan. Enemy of God is our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So our sinful nature is constantly warring against the Spirit of God. So how do we live by the Spirit? First thing is receive the Spirit. Second thing is yield to the Spirit.
Well, don't we already have the Spirit of God? But at birth, we have the Spirit of God in us, and so then therefore, if it's in us, is it possible that, so it's in us, we have to just yield to the Spirit. It will yield to the Spirit by meditating on God's word, because that helps us to be in line with what God wants done, which glorifies the Spirit and God.
We are not born with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God, has to be welcomed into you. That's why when you pray the prayer of salvation, you pray that you that the that God's Spirit will take over your life.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you have a spirit all right when you're born. It's the same one that threw a bottle at your mom's head. The same one that is groveling constantly to get its own way from the time we cry into this world. Your spirit has to die. Remember, we're going to get to that. Paul talks about that you have to die so that you can live. And that's what you came here with. The dead man has to die. And the spirit that God gives you. And if no, we're not born with the Spirit, and if that was the case, of course, in all of the Old Testament, what was the problem?
Right, they didn't have the Spirit.
No. The Holy Spirit didn't come until Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fell on believers. So if you're not a believer, no, there's not the God in me, sees the God in you. There is no God in you.
Not a song.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is. It's a, believe it or not, it's a gospel song, and
it
talks about the God in me sees the God in you, and blah blah blah. It sounds the same as that yoga greeting. The God in me honors the God in you. Same thing. Well, there is no. You don't randomly walk around and just assume everybody's filled with the Spirit of God, because they're not. You don't have the Spirit of God until He comes in, abides in you, and the first time He did that. In a big blanket event was in Acts, the second chapter, when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room. So now you have the Spirit of God. That's why when you become saved and you get filled with the Spirit, and some people, you know, it doesn't seem to happen simultaneously, but you get saved. You're filled with the Spirit. All of a sudden, the things you used to do aren't appealing to you anymore. Anybody experience that?
Oh, yeah.
As you're on this journey, your desires begin to change as you yield to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Things you used to suffer with or struggle with, you look back now, they're not even a struggle anymore. I don't even think like that.
Yeah.
That's because the Holy Spirit is beginning to dominate. What we want is His Spirit to dominate our lives in every way possible, all the time, not just sometimes. That's why Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit. So now we're going to get to, well, if we're walking the Spirit, how do we walk in the Spirit? Comes from a couple of things. One is resisting the devil. The second is, you know, exposing yourself to his word. The third is reading the word for yourself. You know what else strengthens the Spirit? Praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
When you praise him, your spirit gets lifted and strengthened. And when you praise him with other people, it even happens more. That's why he says, forsake not the coming together of the saints. Because there's power in what happens when the saints gather together in his name. So he's saying, live by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In other words, instead of constantly struggling with, oh, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I'm not going to do it, oh, I sure want to do it, but I'm not going to do it. If you're living by the Spirit, it won't be a struggle so much to not gratify the ways of the flesh. Because the Spirit is opposite of the flesh. So if you're walking in his way, and walking is that you're filled with him, your mind is on him, he is taking over, you've learned how to hear his voice, you follow his lead, well, there's no room to be, you know, sidetracking to go to the nightclub, looking stuff you shouldn't be looking at, thinking stuff you shouldn't be thinking. That's not even a thought of yours anymore, because what the Holy Spirit is taking over your thought pattern. It's a beautiful thing for those who've already experienced that. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a constant thing. It's something that you have to keep yielding to the Spirit daily.
Right.
You don't say, "Oh, gee, I had a great day in the Spirit yesterday, but I don't know, 4 days from now, not so much." We have ups and we have downs in this journey. But Paul is giving you the key to the kingdom here. He's saying if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify. But then he says, but if you are led, we're down in verse 8, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Somebody put that in a different way. If you're led by the Spirit, now everything we just said about the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law.
Mm-mm.
What is Paul saying there?
That now you live by grace and not by the law. You live by the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
That the Spirit is greater than
Amen.
The law. That the two
exactly.
don't mix.
Yep.
Exactly.
And one is greater than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So this new covenant trumps the old covenant. I got to find another name. But anyway, trumps the old covenant.
Yeah. We get
you know,
it.
But anyway.
No time for judging.
Let's talk about this a little bit. So, and what is motivating you? What is your new motivation? Your new motivation isn't so much doing good so that I don't go to hell. I'm doing good so that I escape the fires of torment. You're just doing what pleases God because the Spirit of God in you is God.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not. Now it comes so much. It comes different, and it's coming from. It's transforming. He's giving you a new heart. This new heart wants to please God. That's different from is terrified of God and trying to, you know, avoid, you know, pending doom. So it's not about the law anymore. It's not about the law in my life. Are we understanding that? It's not about the law anymore.
Sure.
If you're walking by the Spirit.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want grandma? Okay.
All right.
Sammy, mute, please.
I'm so sorry.
To him. No biggie.
Sorry.
No problem. But so we're no longer under the law because we're now walking by the Spirit. The Spirit came and gave us a way We don't have to. But does that mean, go ahead on, keep reading, Alexandra.
Sure. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love,
I'm sorry. Go back to 19.
Oh, 19. 19. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. All right, back to 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But
okay.
The fruit of...
Wait 1 sec.
So sure.
In one point, he's saying it is not your do-goodness that's going to get you to heaven, right? You're not, not going to be by following the law. But then in the very next passage, he says, but if you're doing all this stuff, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Does that sound conflicting to you?
No.
Somebody explain that. He just said that we're saved by grace. We're not under the law. So, but if you do these things by giving into the flesh and the wickedness and blah, 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 sinful nature, if you give into the sinful nature, you're in no wise going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So how is that not in conflict?
Well, it implies that
because you
is
can't,
not about the law. Oh, go ahead.
But you can't be led by the Spirit and have sexual immorality and that's flesh touring against spirit. You're either one or the other. So it's obvious that if you, it feels truthful to me.
Are you one or the other? Because I still sin.
I still sin as well.
And I'm led by the Spirit.
Well, if you're led by the Spirit, you have grace.
You have grace. That itself is the conflict.
Okay, you recognize that, huh, Tara? Yeah.
Yeah, because our sinful nature, you know, I deal with this every day, you know. There's things mentally that I want to say to people that I catch myself.
Oh, yes.
I say, I shouldn't do that. So I've won that little battle. There's other times when I fail.
Right.
And I have to apologize to God. So I think that's our constant conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're getting at. Paul is saying, but what is Paul insuring you? He just insured us earlier in that.
Sorry, you cut out. Can you repeat that?
These things, hear me loud and clear, should be falling off. Right?
Right.
These things should be falling off. Does that mean that you're going to be walking perfectly?
No.
From the time
Absolutely
you've received
not.
The Holy Spirit? Absolutely not.
Right.
People, it's a process. But this is where Paul is trying to get you to. He's saying, well, hey, you live by the Spirit, this won't be a problem. If you live by the Spirit, gratifying the flesh won't be a problem. Well, you're in the process of shedding all this on your journey from wherever your starting point was. You're shedding all the things, all these, this long list of offenses. And you're doing it because every time you yield to the Spirit, the desire for that fades away. It begins to go away. Now, does the devil come back and tempt you with it again? Absolutely.
Yep.
Are you going to fall again? You might.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. So then what comes into play? Grace.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
What a perfect puzzle that all comes together. Yes, all these things are not welcome in the kingdom of heaven, but God knows you're in the process of shedding them. The Holy Spirit, every day that you yield, every time that you yield to the Holy Spirit, you're getting closer to what he has called you to be. And no, this has nothing to do with the law. And yet everything he mentioned, you know, from idolatry to witchcraft, fits of, all of this is breaking the law, but that's not your focus anymore, is it?
No.
Your focus as you walk by the Spirit is to yield to the Spirit and please God. So when you fall, you repent and get up.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
Hopefully the next time you'll do better. Maybe you'll fall again, but maybe you won't fall all the way into the ground.
Amen.
And then eventually you may look over your shoulder 10 years later and say, you know, I can't even remember the last time I thought about that. You're not falling in that area anymore. These things are beginning to shed off of you by the power of his Spirit that you're yielding to. And until you're made perfect, you're only getting in the door because of grace. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Beautiful. I have a question. I have a question. Is it a sin when you, I mean, are you in a repetitive lifestyle when you hear God prompting you to do something and you ignore that voice? And then you realize,
now,
oh, I knew it. Do you know what I mean about the voice?
Absolutely.
Like God will,
absolutely. The problem is that only God knows if you were capable of turning at the time you heard.
Mm.
Only God knows that.
But you
that.
Doubt. But is it a is it wrong? What is it when we keep saying that's not you, God? I'm just overthinking something, and you ignore
that's
it. Like go back and turn off the stove. No, I turned it off. I don't have to go back and check.
Oh yeah, that's a good one right there. Come home and your house burned down.
Ignoring the prompting of the Spirit, I can't seem to know. I fail. I keep failing. Sometimes I'll obey the voice, and sometimes I say, oh, Terry, you're overthinking stuff. You already checked the stove. Just go. And I'm ignoring him. So is that a fleshly
thing? That's
a
process. It is flesh, but it's also you're growing in Christ. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they
Amen.
Know me, and they follow me. So mm-hmm. a lot of times, you're in the process of becoming a sheep. We start out lambs. Lambs don't know the voice of the shepherd yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn and we grow. And as we're growing, we become more and more sensitive to his Spirit. And then we don't have so many faux pas where, oops, I'm pretty sure he told me not to do that now that I think about it. Next time you'll know when you hear that voice, oh, this is just what happened 5 weeks ago, and I kind of had this sense that I kind of knew it was God, and I chose to ignore it. I'm not going to ignore it this time. I'm just going to do what I think I should do or not do mm-hmm. what I think I ought not do. You're growing. So is it a sin? It's a failure. Repent, Lord, make your voice even clearer to me because sometimes I ignore it. Sorry. Sometimes I ignore it. We
yeah.
don't always yield to the Spirit.
Amen. You're not alone.
And Terry, you also have, you know, the adversary filling your head. Well, I turned the stove off. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be feeling led to go turn the stove off if I don't know, I just got this thing that I didn't turn this. Ah, you turned the stove off, please. Oh, geez. You're going down this anxiety path or something.
Exactly.
You have another voice that is always trying to drown out what the Spirit
mm-hmm.
has told you. But there will come a time that you'll hear his voice and it'll be so clear to you that, nope, I'm going to go check the stove. Oh, there it is. It's on.
Yeah.
Or I came home to turn off the stove and I got home and found out I left, oh, in my case, all the doors unlocked. And
yeah,
my door
exactly.
right open.
Yeah.
So he's leading you, and you'll begin to, and yes, it's, you know, it's not a good day when we ignore his voice. And you keep ignoring his voice, eventually, he says that eventually he'll stop talking to you if you're going to keep ignoring him. But that's way down the road. That's not how he treats children.
Yeah.
That comes when you just blatantly, you know, raise your fist and blaspheme him.
Yeah.
then he says, had enough. But that's, you know, right now you're just learning. You're learning. You're not sure. You were sure, but you said you're not sure.
Thank you.
And you did it anyway. And well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Didn't end well. You're just learning. That's not, you know, he's not bringing out a whipping stick. He's just going to let you learn next time I'm speaking. Try to listen. Try harder. And what's happening is your flesh is coming into, you know, a battle with the spirit. Mm-hmm. And eventually the spirit will dominate. You keep yielding to the spirit, these things fall off. Eventually, you know, you don't even move unless God says move.
Amen.
You get to that point. You don't even move.
You didn't answer me, Lord,
so I'm not moving.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this. I just went through this with the passing of Demetrius. I'm hearing he's on life support. I am saying to the Lord, and I'm in this house by myself, I am screaming out to the Lord, Lord, just say the word. I'll get a ticket and get to Florida.
Yes.
I heard nothing. I said, Lord, why aren't you answering me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go? I can go now. You've given me the Holy Spirit. I should be able to lay hands on him and bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
So should I get on the plane now? Now? Should I make, you know, get the ticket? He didn't answer me. Well, not answering me does not mean go buy the ticket. Not answering means sit there till I tell you. Then I got tears rolling down my face. You're not even telling me. I need to get there. It's an 8-hour plane trip. Like God doesn't know that.
Right.
So the Lord answers. He calls me up, as has the regular who was at the hospital, his girlfriend, call me up. And she says, Jeannie, right now the doctor's talking to me. And as she spoke, Demetrius flatlined.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew right then and there, I didn't tell you to get a ticket, Jeanette, because he's already gone.
Mm.
I'm not sending you there to raise him from the dead. 8 hours from now, his body's going to be put where it needs to be put. And then I, you know, a couple of days later, I'm saying, well, I just don't understand it. He's allowed me to, you know, pray over people before. Blah, 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 blah. I just don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, when I calm down, his spirit speaks. He says, Jeanette, you're not here to necessarily save a life. You are here to lead people to eternal life.
Amen.
What you're trying to hold on is not important right now. And then the scriptures came as by way of the Holy Spirit. He who tries to save his life will lose it. He who lays down his life, same will save. I am the resurrection of life. He who is dead, yet shall he live. But sometimes, and you'll grow to that point where you're going to be willing to just sit there, not jump the gun, start buying tickets, and do this and do that. You'll wait till he speaks.
That was good, because I rode the coattails of your flesh. I stood watch, waiting for your call to say, Xandra, I need you. And it never came. And I, as you're teetering, I'm saying, why hasn't she called me? There's nothing I wouldn't do. You know, I'm talking like this to God, and you never called. I'm like, okay, you have another plan, Father God. I'm here if she needs me. And you just answered so many of my questions just by sharing that. So thank you. That was beautiful.
God,
that was beautiful. Thank you.
And in time, all of us will listen, learn to listen. Now, do I listen all the time?
No, none of us do. Jesus.
Well, if that was the case, I probably wouldn't be, you know, trying to get my money back for my airfare to Louisiana. Whoops. Maybe I didn't sit there and ask the Lord, should I be going to this funeral?
That's good. That's
so
good.
Okay, sorry. Can I have my money back, please? And then my mind just went to, well, when did you stop and ask me, is this the time
exactly.
to buy a ticket?
Exactly.
You didn't ask me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, here I am.
Yep. Amen, sister.
Nice,
thank you
nice
for
fine.
Oh. You nailed that one home. That thank you. Wow.
But I ain't going to hell because I wasted the money on a ticket.
Okay.
I'm just going to be reminded. You know what you did
yeah.
when Demetrius was. Well, you need to do that all the time, Jeanette. Not some of the time. Live by the Spirit. No matter
mm-hmm.
how urgent you think it is. Well, if I don't get the ticket today, it's going to go up. It's just going to get more the longer I wait.
Right.
So I know you haven't answered me, Lord, but I'm going to go ahead and buy the ticket right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that was quick. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a
Here
ceremony.
We are. We're all still learning. We're
yeah.
all mm-hmm. still in the process of being molded by what? By that Spirit that He placed within us.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit has caused our spirit to be considered the dead man. As He resurrects us.
Yeah.
So Jay, this
flesh
is
and flesh.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
So airline tickets are usually good for a year. So why don't you just hold on to it and go at a different time when things have calmed down a little bit?
Well, that's
well, we'll
what,
see what God
I
says.
Thought. But the truth of the matter is I don't buy American airline tickets. I always use United so I can pile up my miles. Number two, with as bad as things are going, I'm not going to be
yeah.
tracing around the planet right now. Probably in the next year, I doubt it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm suffering mm-hmm. the consequence of not sitting on that same spot and calling out to God till I heard from Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm dealing with it. So I'm sure they'll give me some credit, but whether or not I'm how get, I don't know. We'll see. I'm asking the Lord, would you please? But
oh, man.
No. A lot of times with our kids, we don't, do we? You tell
right.
them not to do something. You tell them, wait for my answer. If they go do something anyway and they break something that they really like, then they say, now buy me another one. And he says, not so much. I'm not going to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what his answer is. But we're just learning. We're all
Amen.
Just learning. We're all just yielding. We're learning how to yield. Sometimes
yeah.
we listen. Oops. And sometimes we don't. We learn in time that when you don't listen, it is only to your own demise.
Yep.
When you listen, well, you know, God knew what He was talking about every time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Want me to finish out the chapter?
There.
It's just a... Oh, we're going to stop? You sure? You don't want me to? It's only like
no.
a few verses. Huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Good, because it's juicy. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things
stop,
there is
stop,
no...
Stop, what,
mm-hmm.
stop there 1 second. So
mm-hmm.
he's saying that this is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, as you yield to the Spirit, as you become more obedient to the Spirit, these are the characteristics you can expect to start showing up in you. And when
mm-hmm.
they do, if you're anything like I was, you'll know, oh, my, I was never like that. You'll recognize kindness? Seriously?
Yes.
Well, patience
yeah.
has never been forbearance in some translations. Patience, that's something I would have never, ever, ever put next to my name. But it's coming. I'm becoming more patient. I'm becoming more kind. I'm becoming more faithful. I'm becoming, believe it or not, more gentle. Definitely become more self-controlled. Wow, because the Spirit, this is what the Spirit looks like that's developing in you. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is what the Spirit, not try and be more kind, work real hard at being, no, the Spirit within you is transforming you. and mm-hmm. these begin to show up in you.
mm-hmm.
You think a kind thought that you never would have thought on your own. It's not you. And you'll
Amen.
Find it easy to yield to that kindness. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit developing, changing, molding. And that person becomes changed, but it is, again, a process, not overnight. So those of you who are looking for a Holy Spirit sighting within yourself, do you have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Are you seeing these things developing in you? You will. If you're young enough, you might not see it yet. Stay on the road. Oh, you'll see it. Against such things, there is no law. Who needs the law?
Right.
When you're walking in the Spirit. Who needs the law when that Spirit has taken so a hold of your life that this is who you are now? You don't need a law to tell you to love if it's already coming from you because it's what you are.
Amen.
Okay. Finish this up.
In closing, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying of each other. Amen.
So, amen. Now, I just want to cap, I know our time is just about up, but verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying of each other. So as these other things, what other things? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. As all of those things begin to fall off, the adversary standing at the door with something new. He's standing with something new. Well, we've lost all of the fruit of the sinful nature, all the idolatry and this, that, and the other, all this other garbage. That's gone. The Holy Spirit's dispelled all this. But as you develop, be aware and beware that other sins try to creep in.
Mm.
And in the church, it's very, very common that there's a lot of envy and things that should not be among his people.
Amen.
So don't think, oh, I'm no longer this and I don't do that and I'm out of the woods, because now you're becoming judgmental, some of the other pitfalls he's got for the Christian. Why am I saying they're pitfalls for the Christian? Because they're very designed to lead people that you should be leading to Christ as far from you as they can get.
Mm-hmm.
So it's other things that you're going to have to work on, the more subtle sins that we sometimes don't even identify as sin.
Mm-hmm.
So he's warning you, be careful. Don't become conceited. Don't get a big head. Don't start becoming prideful. It's very subtle. Okay. Lord, add a blessing to the reading word. Thank you for being on the call. Dear Lord, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We are thanking you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you for such a gift that when it enters us, it begins to mold us and begins to help us in this battle against sin and this battle against the flesh. But most of all, I thank you, Lord, that you set up a way that we don't have to worry about breaking each and every law and that terrified that we can't work our way to heaven.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you so much for the grace. I thank you for the provision that you've made so that we're no longer under the law, but you've given us the Spirit to help us since we could never fulfill the law.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. I ask you, Lord, at this very moment that would you please ignite your Spirit afresh, Lord, in each person that's under the sound of my voice today. Those who should be on the call and didn't get on the call, we're lifting them up also, Lord. Pour your Spirit into them that they can fight against the flesh and begin to find their way to your word so that they too can yield to that Spirit of God that you've placed within us that's growing each day, Lord. Help us in these last and evil times, Lord, to be able to walk in the Spirit, because without your Spirit, we can't do it. Without your refreshing, we can't do it. So we thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord, Heavenly Father, for sending the Spirit. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying the price that it could be sent. Thank you so much with all of our heart. Dear Lord, we lift up that family, Lord, that has lost their niece and their nephew, the mother that has lost her two children, just shot down for no reason, Lord Jesus, it seems.
Yes.
Lord, I lift up that family, Lord, that you would please just comfort them in their time of trouble. I lift up our family, Lord Jesus, and my stepdaughter, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, that you comfort her heart in this time, Lord, and ease the fear that is just running through her heart, Lord Jesus, as she sees yet another son stricken with COVID, the mother of her grandchildren stricken with COVID, her husband stricken with COVID. Death all around her, Lord Jesus. I ask you to strengthen Alvildria right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we lift her up. We lift that family up. We ask the angel of death to step back and let them finish out their lives, Lord, so they can serve you, so that they can have a testimony of what you have done in their lives, Lord Jesus. And I ask you, Lord, to bind the confusion. Lead Alvildria, even if she doesn't know she's being led. Help her understand what she needs to do and how to do it and all of the things that she's facing, thinking that she wants to get him in, you know, have a service, Lord. That's her heart. But, Lord, you know what is best.
And if for some
reason this goes forward with all these people that are positive, them anyway, Lord. Protect them anyway.
Yes, God.
Protect the funeral home. Protect the director. Protect all of those involved that are interfacing with this family that is all COVID positive at this time, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Amen.
And the reading of the word today. God bless everyone and be safe.
Holy Spirit.
Blessings to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jay. I'll be praying for you and Richard's family.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that. Have a good rest of the day. Yeah. Love you, my friend.